Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning, please, to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Night and darkness is oftentimes resembling of sin and wickedness and evil. And I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is holy and righteous, could come into a dark world and make a dark, wicked, evil, sinful night a holy night. That's what Jesus has done for the world, and what a wonderful message we have to be able to give out this season of the year and all throughout the year as well. I do want to mention that our assistant pastor, Andy Bush, is going to be preaching tonight. Maybe you're not in the habit of coming on a Sunday night, but I would encourage you, if you're not, to come back tonight. Most of you are probably aware that 40 years ago this month, Pastor Andy Bush, Mrs. Lillian Bush, came to Midwest City and started Open Door Baptist Church. And he will be speaking tonight, and I had the opportunity to snoop into his office this morning and see what it is that he's going to be preaching about. Unless he changes it, he could always do that. But if he does preach what I saw that I think he intends to preach tonight, it'll be worth your coming to be here in the midst. And so I invite you to come back tonight at 6:30. We're doing something a little bit different. This year he will not be preaching on the day that we celebrate anniversary, although we will have something special from him Christmas Day. You want to stay tuned for that. That'll be a part of the special Christmas events that are going on that day. But he will be bringing a message tonight. And we are so thankful for Pastor and Mrs. Bush and the years of service that they put in right here in our community here at Open Door Baptist Church. Exodus chapter number 23, we're going to read for our text verses this morning, verses 20 through 25. Exodus chapter 23. It will begin reading in verse number 20 and read down through verse number 25. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. For mine angel shall go before thee, bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The title of the message this morning is simply, Beware of the Angel. Beware of the Angel. I want you to hear me this morning. We're living in a day where the phrase, the fear of God, has been relegated away, where we as believers don't really think a whole lot of it, and the world, in a large sense, has no clue what that even means. But we're going to talk about the fear of God some this morning. As God said to his people, beware of the angel. Let's go to prayer one more time. Father, I thank you again for this day that, Lord, you've set aside for us to be able to put you first in our week. And Lord, I thank you that you give us the health and the strength to be able to physically come into your house. I'm reminded of a time just a couple of years ago when, Lord, a situation was occurring in our country, starting to occur, that we've never seen before. And as a result of that, it was about a six-week period that we, as a local body of believers, were not able to come together physically. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning that you've given us the health and the strength, even, Lord, with the sickness that we've experienced here recently, to be able to come into your house. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll help us to be focused, to be zeroed in on what you have for us today. I pray that we'll realize, Lord, how great and how mighty and how terrible and how awesome you truly are. And we'll realize that that goes both ways. You're terrible and awesome and mighty and glorious and wonderful when you're acting in our behalf. You're also all of those same things when we decide to go our way, to ultimately turn against you. Help us to understand these things this morning, and Lord, help us to truly beware of the angel. And I pray, Lord, if there is somebody here that's never experienced the new birth, they don't know for sure if they were to die today, that heaven would be their home. Lord, I pray they'll realize the truth that we just sang about, all the different songs about Jesus coming to this earth, Lord, ultimately to be able to die for our sins so that we, Lord, would not have to live in our unrighteousness and ultimately be separated from you forever. He purchased the gift of eternal life to be able to freely give to us. Pray if there's one this morning that's not realized that truth, they will today be willing to receive it for themselves. And I pray that we as believers will be drawn close to our Father. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Beware. It's a word all by itself that draws my attention. When I see that prevalent sign on the house or on the fence, you know the one I'm talking about. Beware of dog. My senses immediately become more focused. I'm not nearly as relaxed as what I would be normally because primarily I have no familiarity with this dog. Now I've heard it said by dog owners all through the years, my dog doesn't bite. Maybe you've heard the same thing before. But I must tell you, I've had two occasions on two specific careers that I was working in. The first one was when I was in law enforcement, and we received a call, and the complainant, as they would call it in the business, was a mailman, U.S. Postal Service mailman. And the mailman had called the police because he was trying to deliver mail. I know that none of the mailmen, that we've got some retired mailmen in our midst this morning, I know that y'all probably never dealt with them. But he called because there was a pit bull there, and this pit bull was sort of snapping at him. And as I remember it, the way that the call came out, the pit bull was snapping at him behind a gate or a fence. And so we showed up. There were three of us that day. I don't know if there were two squad cars with two in one in the other, three squad cars. I can't remember exactly how that went. But we showed up. And I remember my partner and I showed up after the initial officer showed up. And he was talking to the homeowner. And we were sort of standing in the driveway of the residence. You are sitting sort of where the residence would have been. We were in the driveway, and then I remember there was a vehicle sort of park sideways in the driveway and in the yard as well. And on the other side of that vehicle in the yard was this other officer talking to the owner of the house and of the dog. And I don't know if we realized this or not, my partner and I think maybe we had since we positioned ourselves the way that we did, but that pit bull had been placed on one of those chains, and you have a stake that's driven into the ground, and then obviously the dog has room to be able to roam on his chain. And so here we are on the other side of the vehicle, the other police officers on the other side talking with the owner about this complaint. And the next thing that I hear, I didn't really hear what the conversation was, but the next thing that I did hear that perked my ears up immediately was the other officer saying to the owner, "Ma'am, your dog is off the chain." That's what I heard. Now, I cannot tell you the events over the next few seconds exactly. All I know, and I can tell you this like it was yesterday, I didn't even think about it. This was not something that was going into my mind. As soon as I heard that, apparently my hand went to my weapon. And the next thing I noticed around that car was this beautiful, white, strong, big, in my eyes, pit bull right around the vehicle, coming directly our way. And I'm telling you, I hope you don't get upset with me, you that are dog lovers this morning. But before I even had a chance to think, my gun was out of its holster and I had fired a shot at that pit bull that was coming our way. When I fired my shot, I don't know where my partner was in this process. He was standing next to me. But the next thing I know, there was another shot fired. That came from my partner's gun. And we both hit that pit bull, and I remember that pit bull yelping or barking or something and crawling underneath that vehicle there, and then the owners went ballistic, as many probably dog owners would, and they were upset, and I remember that dog had to be carried off, you know, to the vet, and I don't know if it lived or died or what, but that all came from an animal complaint. Beware of dogs. I'll tell you one other. Most of you are aware that over the last 5 years previous to this year, thank the Lord, I spent some time doing some driving for a delivery company. And boy, these delivery companies, the U.S. Postal Service, you end up dealing with some dogs. And I was in a very nice neighborhood. And a man opened the door and I saw this little bitty yapper. This was the opposite of a big pit bull. It's just a little yapper. And I remember the man opening the door and me bringing his package to him. I think I had to get a signature for the package, and this little yapper came about, and I remember the man saying to me, like many have said before, "My dog doesn't bite." And the next thing I know, while I'm handing him my little computer so that he can sign it, that little yapper came and bit me on the front of my foot. Thankfully, I was wearing steel-toe boots, and so it did hurt, but it wasn't as bad as maybe it could have been. What am I talking about this morning? Beware of dog. And I'm not nearly as relaxed as what I would normally be. Why? This is important. Because primarily, I have no familiarity with this dog. You know your dog. You're comfortable with your dog. I'm not. The owner of the property is communicating to me with that sign the potential danger should I cross certain boundaries and face the animal. Speaking of the owner, there exists some other signs. There is that sign, matter of fact, I saw one this morning that states, "Forget the dog, beware of owner." And it usually includes a picture of a lethal weapon, driving home the point of the warning. Beware. Respect the boundaries, or else. Moses was receiving laws and ordinances for Israel from God. And before he explained the inner workings of the tabernacle and its service, there was this announcement concerning a particularly powerful angel. One sent for the overwhelming benefit of the people. This angel, however, would have a greater sense of allegiance to the law of the land. As long as the people abided by the law, this angel would work for them and not against them, but the people must beware. The angel was not to be taken lightly. He was to be feared. To raise the sense of awareness as to the consequences of violating the boundaries of God's law. Now this morning we need to see the tasks of this angel and come to terms concerning his identity. Who is this angel that God was speaking to Israel about? Do we have the propensity maybe to experience this angel in 2022? And what are the tasks of this angel? Number one, I want you to notice in Exodus 23:20, the task of guarding. Beware of the angel. His first task, the Bible tells us, was to guard. Now I want you to see this in verse number 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee," notice this, "to keep thee in the way." To keep thee in the way. That word in the Bible most always means to guard or to secure. To keep thee in the way. Now I want you to notice some scriptures concerning this matter of guarding or keeping or securing. Look with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 8. The first task of this all-powerful angel was to guard. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. Wisdom personified here in this chapter says, "I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." So he speaks about the way of righteousness. Turn, if you will, just a couple of pages to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 28. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 28. "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." The way of righteousness. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 31. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 31. "The hoary head," or the old head, "is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." I've said before that I do believe that elderly people ought to be given a level of respect simply because they are elderly. But I'll also say this, an elderly fool or an elderly wicked person ought not get very much respect at all based on the Word of God, because they are not operating in the way of righteousness. You don't simply get a pass simply because you've lived for years and years when you've lived a wicked lifestyle. Part of the honor that goes with that hoary head ought to be an honor that we give to those that live righteously before others. that have the right kind of testimony. God was giving the law to His people. What was it? It was a law of righteousness. And what did He say to the people? I'm sending this angel before you. And this angel is there to guard you, to keep you, to secure you in the way of righteousness. Look, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21 for a moment. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Matthew 21, verse number 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you, notice, in the way of righteousness. And he's talking about John the Baptist here. And ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. What was the message of John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the one that God over and over, all throughout the Old Testament, said, This is my righteousness. All the sacrifices pointed to one, the one that John the Baptist said, This is the one that has come to take away your sin and your iniquity. And yet, these self-righteous people, these religious folks, decided they would rely on themselves and the publicans and the harlots, realizing that they had a need for righteousness. They said, We'll go in the way. There's a way of righteousness. God says that His angel will guard us while we're in the way of righteousness, meaning that when we're not in the way of righteousness, we lose God's protection. Now, I'm thankful this morning that the believer, the child of God, to an extent, is always being protected by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are in the Lord's hand, Jesus' hand, and that Jesus is in the Father's hand, and we cannot get out. So we are secure eternally for eternal life as a result of our faith and trust being put in Jesus as the way to God. But Christian friend, I don't want you to get it misunderstood this morning. The same way that you're in a physical family, but you decide to maybe run away from home or get out of the purview of your parent, your father, or your mother, and you put yourself in harm's way when you do that, Christians can also put ourselves in harm's way when we leave the way of righteousness. We lose that protection that God offers to His children. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18 says it like this, For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, referring here to false prophets, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. God said there is a major judgment placed upon those who knew the way of righteousness but turned from it. You better hear me this morning, Christian friend, if you've been exposed to the truth, the way of righteousness. God is holding you responsible and accountable this morning. And when you decide that you're going to leave, I'm going to leave the way of righteousness to go my way and to do my own thing, there's a level of protection that we lose. God's desire and design for mankind is that we live in liberty, not in bondage. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. Because we lose our protection. Number two, not only was this angel to guard, but the angel was also to guide. Look again, if you would, at Exodus chapter 23. Notice verse number 20 and verse number 23. Not only was this powerful angel to guard, but he was also to guide. Exodus 23, verse number 20, "Behold, I send an angel," notice these words, "before thee, to keep thee in the way," notice, "and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Drop down to verse number 23. "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto all these different people groups." And what he's talking about is the land or the territory of the enemy. So this angel was not only going to guard them in the way of righteousness. God says, if you go my way, if you stay in the path that I have for you, I'm going to have my angel guard you. But what I'm also going to do is I'm going to have my angel guide you. And this is such a wonderful truth. This angel would be there to guide God's people. He would, the Bible says, go before them. I'm so thankful. The angel would not be behind them, driving them, but he would be before them, leading them. John chapter 14, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he begins to speak about this very thing, and he talks much about the leading and the guiding of the Lord. John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God," notice, "believe also in me," Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The same way that God had prepared a physical, temporary place for the children of Israel, Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you that believe on me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I've already said that Jesus is the way of righteousness. And this angel who would guide the people into that prepared place, this angel ultimately is speaking of the way of righteousness in which he leads us and guides us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm number 32, look over there if you would. Psalm number 32, this guiding presence that this angel was given to the people is what we see all throughout the Word of God, essentially. Psalm number 32, notice verses 8 and 9. Psalm number 32, verses 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God says, don't be like a beast of the earth that's got to have a bit or a bridle just so he won't turn out of the way. God says, keep your eye on my eye. Let's look at each other eye to eye, face to face, through the way of righteousness, and I will guide you in the way that you need to go unto that prepared place. Psalm number 48, verse number 14, says it like this: For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. God wants to not only guide us to an eternal home in heaven, but God wants to guide us through this life unto that eternal home. Are you following the guiding of the Lord this morning, the guiding of the angel? Or are you leaning on your own understanding, going your own way? Luke 1:76, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. This is Zechariah talking about his son, John the Baptist. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Notice, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God desires to guide us in the way of righteousness and truth and peace. But here's the question: are we willing to follow Him? The angel was to guard. The angel was to guide. But there's another item that we see here that this angel was to accomplish, and that was to goad. To goad. Again, in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse number 21, this is so very important. God says, beware of him. Here's the very important part. And obey his voice. Provoke him not. Verse number 22 says it like this: But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, you better wake up this morning. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. And over again, this voice would go forward. How would it go forward? It would go forward through the law that God had given them. And it would say to them, you keep on following the law. As long as you keep on following the law, I'll guard you in the way of righteousness. I'll guide you into that prepared place. So as a shepherd might goad gently his sheep so that they'll turn the right way or go a different direction, to know that the shepherd is there and the shepherd is paying attention to the way of the sheep, so this angel would goad the children of Israel so that they would know where to go and what to do. Psalm chapter 95 and verse number 6, Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why? They stopped listening to his voice. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, the Lord said that they should not enter into my rest. Jesus says in John chapter number 10, he says, you did not hear me, you Jewish people, because you are not of my sheep. And then he goes on to say this, my sheep hear my voice. They experience that gentle goading that God gives to his people, and they hear me and they follow me. God is seeking a people that don't need earth, wind, and fire to be obedient. You remember in 1 Kings chapter number 19, God is dealing with Elijah. Elijah's having a hard time. He's going through a valley. He needs the Lord to show up. The Bible says the Lord sends wind, and he sends an earthquake, and he sends fire, but he wasn't in any of those things. And then the Bible says there was a still small voice. Does God have to do something major in our lives as believers to shake us up and make us listen to him? Or can he gently goad us? Still small voice. I seem to have seen this through the years in the lives of believers where they begin to refuse and resist that still small voice, and they go further and further until something catastrophic occurs in their life. They finally look back to the Lord. Should we not simply hear his gentle voice and respond, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. This angel would guard and guide and goad. But I said a little while ago that we must come to terms with the identity of this angel. I want you to think about this. The offer of God's angel is actually to anyone willing to beware. Let me say that again. The offer of God's angel in Exodus chapter number 23 is to anyone willing to beware. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Psalm chapter 34, verse number 7. This is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Psalm 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So what God says is that his angel will encamp. He'll get in the camp with those that fear him and those that put their trust in him, as verse number 8 says. Now when we think about this angel in Exodus chapter number 23, and we see other instances when he shows up, we begin to understand better the identity of this angel. Matter of fact, Luke chapter 2, we see the presence of this same angel. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, this will be read quite a bit this Christmas season. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, notice, and they were sore afraid. If you and I saw the physical presence of an angel today, we probably would not be so relaxed. We would automatically have a state of fear about us. And yet God says, you need to beware. I don't believe this was an angel that the people at least regularly saw. But God said you need to understand this angel is powerful. And you need to beware. And the shepherds that night, they saw this angel. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel in Exodus chapter 23, I believe, is the exact same angel in Luke chapter 2 and in many other passages in the Word of God that we find to be a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Before He actually partook of flesh, people saw Him in the Old Testament. They saw an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the angel that he's talking about in Exodus chapter 23 is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Exodus 23, 21, "For my name is in Him." Do you know what the name Jesus means this morning, folks? Jehovah is salvation. Or Jehovah saves. God says in Exodus 23, 21, "My name is in Him. My name is in this angel, Jesus." And I want you to know this morning that God is saying to us in 2022, you know, especially this time of Christmas, you know, people hear about the angel of the Lord and all of that, and it's kind of just sort of a story or a tale that's been told. We sort of just haphazardly pass by it. I believe God is saying to us in 2022 what He said to His people thousands of years ago: you better beware of the angel. Can I say this to you this morning? If you've not been born again into the family of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not in the way of righteousness. And as a result of that, you do not get the promise of the angel guarding you. You do not get the promise of the angel guiding you. You do not get the promise of the angel goading you. The Lord is saying to you this morning, simply, turn to me, come to me, and when you do, I'll give you my presence, and I will be with you, and I will guard you and guide you and goad you. If you're a believer this morning, you have the same promise that the Lord gave to His people thousands of years ago. "I'll put my angel in your midst." That's what the indwelling of the Spirit of God is all about, child of God. So that He can guard us, to keep us in the way of righteousness, guide us for where we ought to go, and to goad us when we start to turn out of the way, as we all do. Now, I wonder this morning, do you have that kind of fear for your Lord this morning? You say, "I'm a believer, I trusted Christ as my Savior," but then, you know, you watch the life of a person that claims to be a believer, and it seems like they could care less about God's righteousness. There's something wrong with that picture. The fear of God ought to grip us, knowing that that angel resides with us. He says, if you'll stay in the way, my angel will take care of you. If you get out of the way, my angel will actually work against you. Now, I don't want God working against me in my life. I want Him working with me. God says, if you want me to work with you, you stay in the way of righteousness. Beware this morning. Do you have the fear of God in your heart and in your life this morning, Christian? Is that something that resonates on a daily basis? Understanding who God our Father is, how mighty, how powerful He is, so that we'll live for Him. If you're lost here this morning, I beg you, I plead with you not to go another day without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus can be your greatest friend, or He can be your greatest enemy. And there will come a day for those that have rejected Jesus' sacrifice where He will be the greatest enemy that any man has ever had before. He will sit in judgment. He will say to that one, depart from me, I never knew you. And ultimately death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Jesus will do that. You better beware of the angel. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you born again this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed? You say, Pastor Taylor, I know that I'm a child of God this morning, and I know it for a Bible reason. I can say without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, I would go to be with my Father. I know that for a Bible reason. Maybe there's somebody here that cannot say that with confidence. I don't know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that I've ever been born again into God's family. But I'm concerned about it this morning, preacher. Would you pray for me? If there's somebody like that, you just flip your hand right up, right back down. I'll pray for you right now. I don't know that I'm a child of God. I don't know that I've been born again into God's family. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Let me ask you this question. I didn't see any hands concerning salvation. I wonder, as a believer this morning, do we have the fear of God in our life? Is it evident by the way that we live, the way we act, the way we talk, the places we go, the things we say, the things we do, the things we wear? Is it evident that we fear, reverence, respect our Father? You say this morning, Pastor Taylor, I'm a believer, but the Lord has spoken to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. That's several. Any others who joined this morning? I'm a believer. God's spoken to my heart this morning. Praise me. Praise me. Let's pray together. We're going to have a time of invitation, give you an opportunity to be able to talk to the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll help us now during this invitation time. Help us, Lord, to have this proper fear of the Lord. Help us to realize, Lord, that you have a task that you've set up for yourself to guard us and to guide us and to goad us. But only when we're in the way of righteousness. So Lord, I pray if there is somebody here this morning who doesn't know you as Savior, they'll come even during this invitation time. Let somebody show them from the Word of God what they need to know. They can be your friend and not be your enemy. You can be their friend and not be their enemy. I pray for believers all around this room, Lord, may we have again a holy and a righteous fear of God. And may we live in the way of righteousness and claim those promises that you give to us of guarding and guiding and goading us. We thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the music plays this morning, and as the song is sung, if you need to come, we invite you. How is it with you this morning, Christian?
In shady green pasture, so
the fear of God, evident and prevalent in your life.
God leads his dear children along.
Do we walk, spiritually speaking, the way that we would when we see that sign, beware of? Do we circumspectly walk through this life because the fear of our God? Would you come this morning if you need to come?
Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us hope in the night season.
He's going to sing another verse. This one's for you this morning. If you haven't come already, we invite you. Would you come? God leads his dear children. If you're not a child of God this morning, you have no claim on that promise. If you need to come, we invite you.